Yeah, ding dong. Come, come, my baby, we can get love on. Hello, I'm Chris Davis. This is Gareth Davis. And we were going to do an episode on a completely different subject, but this absolute weapon has just told me that he doesn't like rom-coms. And I don't really know what to do with that information, guys. So I think we should talk about that in this episode. Because I'm sort of annoyed because I was surprised by this revelation. I thought you liked them.
No.
Why? Yeah.
They're boring, aren't they? They're vanilla, they're bland, they're always the same.
They're not always the same.
Yeah.
They're regularly the same.
Well, we just had a quick look at like the 12 best rom-coms, and I think I've seen one of them.
Well, that's your problem, isn't it? That's because you're an emotionless, cold-hearted husk of a man, obviously. Listen, the rom-com, my friend, goes back to Shakespearean times. There's one rom-com that I do know you like, which is the Philadelphia Story. That's a rom-com in a golden age of cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
A golden age of cinema, guy. Catherine Hepburn, when women became the leads, the comedy drivers in these films.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? The romantic comedy changed everything. Yeah. It's done so much for women in the cinematic sort of sphere. I can't believe it. Like, let's go to the sexual revolution of like the 60s and 70s, guy. The 80s, when you've got kind of the era of that, when Harry Met Sally's and all this kind of thing. The 90s, with Sleepless in Seattle's, and they're probably the golden era of the rom-com. What's not to like?
I could sit here and we could do a plot and sell it to Netflix or whatever, because they're all the same, aren't they? They're all the same. There's so many genre tropes.
But this is what we hear all the time, though. I know what you're going to say. You'll say something like, the main character will always work in, like, I don't know, a deli, but then go home to a massive open-plan studio apartment.
Yeah. Or they'll be working for a magazine, a hi-fi magazine. There'll be an architect. There's always an architect in there.
It might be. I can't defend that. But I think that's kind of, they're surplus to the point of the story, guy. That
what
doesn't
do you
matter.
Mean?
The occupation doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's always
I mean, it's the relatability of the love story, guy. The universal draw of love. We love to see people in love. We love to see people falling in love, guy. Don't you? Come on.
I don't know.
You're a married man with two children.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. But I ain't out there kissing in the rain, am I?
Why?
Why?
You must have done your own share of romancing.
Well, you catch a cold if you do that, mate.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll give you. Romantic comedies do normalise overly romantic grand gestures, don't they? That sort of aren't really realistic. They're about as realistic as, you know, I don't know, Captain America. You know what I mean? I get that. But what I love about rom-coms is I'm watching it and I'm thinking, and I think everyone likes this, and I'm thinking, I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
And then when it does happen, you're like, I knew that was going to happen. And you're all happy about it. And it makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside, which is the goal of the rom-com, right?
Mm.
It's just a film to make you feel good. To warm the cockles of your heart if you had one.
I do have a heart.
Unlike that empty chamber that resides in the middle of your sternum, you miserable git. And I know you're not a miserable git.
I know, I'm not.
All right. Who would play you in a rom-com?
The sexiest man alive, Paul Rudd, I think.
I'm going to put my dick in.
Unconventionally handsome, I would say, but still handsome nonetheless.
Nonetheless. Nonetheless charismatic.
Yeah.
Something that we need to kind of define here, in that what's the driver in a rom-com?
Yeah.
Is it the comedy or is it the romance, right? And I think that's where the sort of the perfect ones meld the two and the story goes forward together. Now, I'll give you one of my favourites as an example.
Go on.
The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, 1997, I think it was. Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore, probably pound for pound, one of the best duos in romantic comedy history, I'd say.
Mm.
But what you've got at the heart of it is a really nice couple who you're rooting for romantically and excellent supporting characters. And that's all you need. Oh, and a bastard. Glenn Gulia, one of the worst bastards in film history.
That's grade A, top choice meat.
Normally it's like a person, boy or a girl,
mm.
and they've got a friend or a mentor or someone
that
they've got that strong relationship with. However, that main person is going to marry a douchebag. So the other person will either be geeky because they've got a pair of glasses or something like that.
Yeah.
And then 3/4 of the way through the film, they'll take off their glasses, they'll judge their hair, and it'll be like, oh my God, my best friend is so sexy. Or this other person is.
I often think that. Sometimes you wear your glasses like you took them off today. You know what I mean? It's like seeing Superman or Clark Kent. I often think
it's the same, man. It's the same. And the wedding singer, the music is a gimmick. If they didn't have that on, if they didn't have that 80s setting, I think you'd be like, this is boring.
Sir, one more outburst, I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
It's got Steve Buscemi in it going, hey, wedding singer.
That's if I had well 90 funny. If I had 90 minutes of that, I'd enjoy it because it's comedy.
But that's what we say. It's called romantic comedy. That's what we're talking about, guy. But I know it's impromptu.
The comedy is never that funny. It's always safe comedy. It's never pushing the boundaries comedy because it has to be in that soft, romantic way. The comedy is never that funny.
But that's the genius of it, though, because it's not supposed it's to be not. Overly funny, because then it veers into just being screwball comedy, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't have to be screwball. It just give me something funny.
Let me give you an example, then, of a really good romantic comedy that's got comedy smarts, a really smart script, great acting, the main leads in it won Best Actor and Best Actress. Jack Nicholson, Helen Hunt, in As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
An incredible film. And I think that's the thing. Rom-coms get underrated by the kind of, you know, the critics and that kind of thing, because they're seen as, like you're pointing out, and I get that, they're seen as formulaic by the numbers.
Yeah.
Fine. But some of them have got really smart, clever scripts. Sideways is another great example of a really smart romantic comedy with a fast-talking, wicked script. Some actors, Matthew McConaughey, cut his teeth in rom-coms, really. Early career, yes, A Time to Kill, Amistad, critically acclaimed films.
Yeah.
Then he had a period of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and all this kind of thing.
Cashing it in.
Cutting his teeth.
No.
And then on to Oscars. It's no surprise, guy, that after his fantastic turns in those wonderful romantic comedies, he went and won an Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, where he did some acting. Other than just being Matthew McConaughey, dialing it in, just turn up to site to set going, I'll just talk how I normally talk.
All right, I can see. I've got an anomaly.
Oh.
I Love You, Man.
Oh, thanks, buddy. But what film have you got?
I Love You, Man.
Yeah, I it's the can anomaly. Feel it.
It's your kryptonite in this argument, because it's a brilliant film. So you're being a bit of a Neanderthal, isn't he, guys? Let's be realistic. He's being a bit of a, I will not watch romantic comedies. I only want to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger killing multiple terrorists.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
I Love You, Man, guy. It's a bromance like we've had for many, many years now.
Yeah. I've seen it and I like it. I like it because I believe it's a comedy. It's not a romantic comedy. It's a comedy with some romantic elements. It's a comedy for me.
It's about two fellas who fall in love with each other. I Love You. It's a hard sell, this, but it's a great film, isn't it?
It is good, and it is funny, I agree. That is a real good, but I think it's a comedy. So you could potentially have a look at other comedies then.
Yeah.
So like Dumb and Dumber then. So Dumb and Dumber, Harry and Lloyd, they're two very good friends.
Yeah.
They go on a journey. They have a breakup.
Yeah.
Because they have that big argument, but then they get back together. The friendship forms back towards the end.
Yeah,
and then they go away and everyone's happy at the end.
I like it a lot.
And I know you'll say, oh yeah, but that's definitely comedy. I would say
it's screwball comedy.
It is screwball comedy, but that's just the vessel, the vehicle. it's that friendship, I think, drives that film forward. And it is funny, they're falling over and shitting themselves away.
Always funny.
Like
a Friday night with you. All right, listen, I don't think I'm going to change your mind on this, am I?
No. But so, in the echelon of your top 10 films, is a rom-com in there?
Yes. Richard Curtis, About Time. And I won't go into the film because you'll try and ruin it for me, but About Time is an incredible film. So it's basically about a guy called Tim who, on his 21st birthday, his dad tells him that they can, like men in his family, can travel back in time to a time that they've lived before, to an event that they've lived before.
Right.
And the sort of gist of it is he uses it to try and improve his love life. Right. Yeah. And the sort of the lessons in the film, it's one of those films, and I genuinely mean this. Like, I watch many artistic films and all this kind of thing and pontificate over the cinematography and all that stuff. But About Time on a Sunday night is one film that will make you think about your life in a way that there's not many others can make you think about it.
Right.
It's one of those films that makes you question what you're doing in life. It makes you question how you're using your time in your life. It makes you realise how much you love all the people that you love in your life. All of these things in this really fantastic little comedy / drama package.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful film. So basically what happens is Tim realises that, because his dad says to him, he goes, use this gift to live every day twice. So he says, live it normally. And then after that, go back in time to the start of the day again and live it with all the little, and notice all the little things that you might have missed the first time. But Tim realises in the end that he should just live his life like that every day anyway. Right. Just try and notice all the little things and try and... It's fantastic. Don't pull that face, because you're ruining one of my favourites.
Sorry, bud.
You heartless toe rag. You're ruining one of my favourites. But anyway, I'm not talking about it anymore, because you're pulling that face on me. And I think it's a wonderful film.
Each their own. Each their own.
Well, anyway, I think that's it for rom-coms. I'm going to give you a list. I'm going to give you a list that you have to watch, okay?
Right, okay.
And you can promise these guys that you're going to watch them. Go on.
I promise. I will watch them. That's your lot for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Davis Locker podcast. This audio is actually taken from a YouTube video, and we encourage you to head on over there and subscribe to our channel. Search The Davis Locker. We're also across all social media, again with the Davis Locker username. Until next time, see ya.